you say thank you. We thank you, God, for the forgiveness of sin. We thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace. Now, God, we're here at preaching time. We ask you, God, that you will bless us and grace us by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, that you would look on us, God, those of us who need a healing, mental, physical, or spiritual. Whatever we need, God, we know that you got it. God, now we come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. God, I ask you that you would bless me and grace me, God, the least of your saints. That you would strengthen me, God, in my body and focus me in my mind. That you may be able to use me as a conduit, as you forgive me for any sin and word or deed that I may have said or done that may try to hinder the going forth of your word. God, I ask you that you would bless your people now. Unstop their ears, God, and open their hearts up, God, that they can receive what the Spirit is about to say to this church. My personal prayer is this, Lord, and that is that the words of my mouth, and I pray that the meditation of my heart has been acceptable in your sight. For truly, O God, you are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I do pray that the faithful of God say, amen.
Amen.
And we will not carry long today, but I do have a preaching assignment. That preaching assignment from the power of the Holy Ghost comes from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 2. We begin reading at verse 1. The Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 2. We begin reading at verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James. Amen. And the Bible reads this wise. And again he entered Capernaum. After some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. He preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing in a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." And they may be seated in the presence of the Lord. They say, "We never saw anything like this." Which goes along with our sermon series that God had the power to show you that he is God. Amen.
Yes.
And our sermon topic this morning is God is still in charge. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, God is still in charge."
Still in charge.
Still in charge. Still in charge. Mark's gospel here talks about Jesus the Christ. No greater power than Jesus. This gospel, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, written by St. Mark, is also found in Luke's gospel, the 5th chapter, 17th through the 39th verse. Amen. Luke's gospel, 5th chapter, 17th through the 39th verse. You can also find it in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Amen. And when you look at all three of them, the synoptic gospels together, you'll find, sorry, Luke chapter 5, for those of you who are right, Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 39. Got it? Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Luke's gospel records similar to what Mark talks about. It talks about the four men who brings the paralyzed man to Jesus. Luke's gospel talks about Jesus coming out of the wilderness, beginning his public ministry, and now he's beginning to preach. Jesus said in the end of the chapter 4 that he has come and his purpose is to preach. Amen. Then once he began to preach in chapter 5, he goes to and he sees Peter and on the boat. And when he gets on the boat, he steps out on the boat and he began to preach. And as he began to preach, he told them, because they had fished all night, he told them, said, launch out into the deep. Amen. They did what he said and they launched out into the deep. Not only that, after they launched out into the deep, Jesus also saw another man who had leprosy. Jesus healed this man of leprosy. Jesus told the man, don't go show yourself to the priest, amen, that you may be whole, right? But then he told him, don't you tell nobody what I did for you. Y'all do know that church folk can't wait to go tell something. This man went straight and told everybody what Jesus did. When he told the people what Jesus did, they started looking for Jesus. He couldn't go anywhere and get peace because people were coming for him. They were not coming necessarily to hear him preach the word of God. They were coming because they were sick. They were coming because they were paralyzed. They were coming because they had epilepsy. They was coming because they had palsy, a problem that they couldn't solve. They heard of a man who could touch somebody and open blinded eyes, who could touch somebody who could not walk, and just one touch from this man could heal them. They were seeking Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 9 talks about the same thing. But in chapter 8, it talks about Jesus in the Gadarenes, where he goes and seeks out a man. And in this man, he's demonically depressed with 6,000 demons in him. Jesus crosses over through a storm with the disciples, and when he gets to the other side, the man ran to him and fell down at Jesus' feet, and Jesus freed him up from all the demons that was in him. And then the devil himself, or the imps of the devil, they had to come out of the man. But they did not want Jesus to send them back to the abyss. They did not want Jesus to send them back to hell where they came from. They said, Lord, there goes some pigs over there. There's some swine over there. Permit us to go over there. And Jesus cast them out of the man. They went into the pigs, and the pigs ran down the bank and drowned themselves. Amen. That's why I can't understand why church folk walk around with the devil raising hell all day. And pigs got sense enough to know that the devil couldn't be in this. When he did that, what he did was he destroyed the economy of the Gadarenes. And the people got together and ran Jesus out of town. If you go to Matthew chapter 8, you will see at the end of that chapter, they said to him, we don't want you here anymore. Jesus was like, that's all right. That's fine with me, because I'm not stuck here anyway. I got somewhere to be. He goes into Capernaum. And then Mark picks it up when he says he goes back to Capernaum again. Amen. Because I told y'all last week, Capernaum was the headquarters of Jesus because he couldn't do many miracles in Nazareth because everybody thought they knew him. And I said that last week to let some of y'all know that God has brought you and me from a mighty long way. Don't let nobody discount what God has done for you. See, they can't see the power of God in you because they think they know you so well. But you keep on doing what God is telling you to do, and after a while they got to declare from where you used to be to who you are now, you are not the same person anymore. I have one person that agree with me up in here. So here we are, Mark chapter 2. Jesus, as he comes in Capernaum, and they said that someday they heard that Jesus was in the house. Y'all in your Bible? Yeah. They said immediately they gathered in the house. Let me set the scene for you because I really don't have time. I just want you to stay in your book. It said, so there was no longer room. So now people are filling up at their house. Some said it's maybe in the house of Peter where everybody was coming to the house, but nevertheless, they filled the house up. And then the Bible says in verse 2 that he preached the word. Let me tell y'all something right now. I don't care what we do in the church. I don't care how many programs you have, how much you sing, how much you clap, how much money you raise. If the word of God is not preached, then you don't have a church. If Jesus is not lifted up, you do not have a church. And the Bible says that Jesus came and
and he preached the word of God. Because when everybody else trying to get there another way, y'all do know people don't want to hear the preached word anymore, don't you? People want to hear a lecture. They want to hear a seminar, amen. They want to hear a power speech, amen. But the Bible says that a man can't preach unless he's been sent, amen. And then he, once he's been sent, if he preached the word of God, you can't even get saved without hearing the word of God. One day somebody preached the gospel to you and you heard about Jesus Christ, and the Bible says you accepted what he did on the cross, you received what he did, and the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. Amen. So that settles that. So he began to preach. And after he preached the word, then they said four men came to him. And they were trying to get to Jesus. Now notice this. Everybody crammed in the house. Right? And four men come. They got this man who's paralyzed. And as I studied it, I tried to figure out what was wrong with him. There's a whole bunch of speculation, Deacon Hall. Some say he may have had muscles wasn't working anymore. Some say he may have had a stroke and he just wasn't able to do anything with his muscles. Or he had palsy where a little bit of muscles go at a time. But nevertheless, the man was paralyzed and he couldn't get up. And his friends went and got him and brought him to Jesus. Now, notice two things. I want to ask you a question. Is your church handicap accessible?
Go ahead.
Is your church handicap accessible? See, we take it for granted. You can get up out your seat. You can go around. We talked about the bathroom. Go downstairs to the bathroom. Go use the bathroom. Get up by yourself. Wash your hands and walk back. What about somebody? What if you was in a wheelchair? What if you was on a show-up on a walker where you can't really just make it? I asked y'all a question. Is your church handicap accessible? In other words, when y'all see folks come in on wheelchairs and walkers, do y'all knock them down so y'all can get in here and get to your favorite seat? Or do you help that person come up the ramp so they can make it to Jesus just like everybody else? I just thought I'd ask the question. So my question is, why didn't the people get out the way and let these men come in with the man? Just like church folk, we just selfish. We gonna get ours and we going on about our business, ain't that right? Yeah, I'm asking about your house. I'm gonna mellow now that I'm here. I ain't gonna stay here long, but I'm gonna stay here long enough. I just wanna mellow. Is your house handicapped accessible? In other words, people today are just not physically messed up. Some people are mentally messed up. And a whole lot of people are spiritually messed up. Now notice this, that these men went out and found this man who was their friend and brought him to Jesus. How many of us lead a church, go out and get some folk out there, they paralyzed? Paralyzed on drugs, paralyzed from a bad marriage, paralyzed with disease, and they need to know that Jesus is still a healer. How many of us gonna go by and get them who are paralyzed and bring them to the church? See, yeah, I got quiet right there, Deacon Wood, because church folk don't want to do nothing extra. We want everything to be worked out just right so I don't have to sweat. I don't have to do no work. But Romans 12 tell me to be not conformed to this world, ain't that right? But be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And in the chapter before that, it tells you to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service to help somebody. It's your reasonable service to tell some folks that one day I was paralyzed and somebody told me about a man who could heal anybody and heal anything. How many of y'all have went out and got somebody, I just told you, and brought them to Jesus, not the church? We'll come to church, but we won't come to Jesus. Yeah, I'm saying it. We'll come to church, but we won't come to Jesus. Y'all will get to that after a while, because I'm coming right back to it. But as I tear it to my next point, it says when they could not bring him in, y'all know what they did? They went up on the roof and began to tie a hole in the roof. And it wasn't like the roof when we got here. And then in that time, they had the house, one level downstairs. They had the steps going up the side. And then you could walk up the steps and be right there on the roof. But nevertheless, they went up on the roof and they began to tie a hole in the roof. Yes, now, there was some mortar on the roof, Mortar is what you see in between brick, amen, the white thing, the cement, the whole brick. So it was a little mortar on there. It was a little straw up there, amen. Yeah. Whatever else they can get up there, they had it packed down.
Yeah.
These men, it was not easy to just get a hole in the roof, but they kept on digging until they got a hole in the roof. And the Bible says that they lowered him down to Jesus. Now, it's interesting about that hole. I got a story about a hole I want to tell you. Notice that I said they brought the man to Jesus. I believe they brought the man to Jesus because they had been through themselves. And a lot of folk who you have been through some things, when you have wrestled, when you see other folk going through what you either going through now and you can make it a little bit, or they're going through some things that God has brought you out of, you ought to go and help them come out the hole. There's a story about a drunk man who was walking through the graveyard and he fell in a hole. Said when he fell in the hole, Brother Rogers, said after a while he heard somebody walking. He said, hey, come and help me. Said it was a businessman. Said the businessman whooped out his car, throwed it down in the hole to him, and told him, I want you to meditate on that. I'll come back next week, brother, and we can see if we can make some money. And he walked off. Said a psychiatrist came. Said, hey, psychiatrist stopped. Said, hey, what you doing out of that hole? He said, man, I fell in the hole. Said the psychiatrist said, well, how long you been in the hole? Why you think you fell in the hole? What can I do? Tell me about your family members and everything that went on in your life, and I can analyze maybe why you in the hole. Amen. And then he said, well, if you can't figure it out, I'll be back next week for another consultation. And he walked on. Said the next thing happens, a doctor walked through the cemetery. When the doctor walked through the cemetery, he said, hey, come and help me. I fell in the hole. Said the doctor walked over to him and said, doctor, you fell in the hole. That's a pretty deep hole. You must have some pain. Said the doctor went in his pocket, whooped out some Tylenol, threw it down in. Said, take these two right here and I'll come back and see you after a while. Said the man took the two Tylenol, but y'all know what happened? He was still in the hole. Said, and after a while, the priest came by. Said, told the priest, hey, come and help me. I'm down here in this hole. Said the man, said the priest went over, got down on his knees at the precipice of the grave and said, Lord, I want you to bless him. Lord, I want you to strengthen him. Lord, I want you to help him. Reached in his pocket, pulled out a little testament, threw it down to him in the hole and walked away. Y'all do know that after everybody left, he was still in the hole. Said later on, he heard somebody come across the grave. Hey, I'm down here in the hole. Said the man walked over to the hole, looked over into the hole and jumped down in the hole. The man was drunk. Said the man was staggering around. Said the man said, hey man, what's wrong with you? How you gonna jump down in the hole? Now we both down in the hole. Said the drunk man said, don't you worry about it. I done fell in it many times. I know how to get out. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When you've been through something, you know how to get out. These men had to know something about Jesus. So they brought this man to Jesus, tore the roof off, and put him down in front of Jesus.
Yeah.
The Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, not his faith, because we're dealing with folk out here in this world who are going through some stuff.
Yeah.
They don't have much faith. You and I come to church, we read God's word, we got a prayer life, we know some folk we can call for strength. Somebody don't have anybody. No more. They need some help. You hear me now? And so what we need to do is go out and begin to talk to them. But they lowered him down to Jesus. Jesus looked at the man and said, son, your sins have been forgiven you. Now let me go here. They go to bougie Pharisees. The Bible says they come from different directions. They did not come to hear Jesus preach. They came to analyze his preaching. I said that in Bible study. No other preacher has the ability to judge another man's sermon. Neither do you. Y'all talking about, Reverend, that was a good sermon. That you don't know whether it was a good sermon or not. It might have sound good. It might have moved your flesh. But what made it a good sermon if it was acceptable in the eyes of the Lord? I don't care what you think. I just want to know, Lord, are you pleased with my praise? They started judging Jesus because they were trying to find a hole in his message. And he said, son, he had compassion on the man. Now, y'all notice this. Jesus is preaching. The roof comes up. The man is lowered down on a pallet at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and tells him, son, your sins have been forgiven you. And immediately they got mad. Because they understood that Isaiah 45 said only God can forgive sin. But notice, they didn't say it. The Bible says that they reasoned within their heart, verse 6. They reasoned within their heart. They didn't say it. They reasoned within their heart. But if they were so godly, if they knew everything about God, they would know that chapter 17, verse 10 said that God knows the intent of the heart. Only God knows the intent of the heart. Jesus was trying to tell them, the one that you're waiting on to come, I'm him. And I can say that your sins are forgiven you. But I'm going to show you something better than that. God has the power to show you that he's God. right? And he said, I'm going to show you I'm still in charge. Yeah. But Jesus said to the man, arise, take up your bed and walk. Yes, my Bible says, immediately the man picked up his bed, didn't he? And he began to walk. Verse 10, why did Jesus do it this way? Verse 10 says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sin. And he said to the paralytic man in verse 11, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately, it didn't take no time, it said immediately he took up his bed. And then they got amazed and they glorified God. They said, we never saw anything like this. This little sermon, this little Sunday school lesson is pretty much over as I get ready to tell you another story and I'm going on to my seat. I'm trying to tell you in this argument today that God is still in charge. I'm still trying to show you today that God has the power to show you that he's God. Come here, Reverend Bernard Mitchell, and help me tell this story by the power of the Holy Ghost. Brother Jimmy said it was an old man in Lauderdale County, Mississippi. Said this old man had been working land for a long time. They said that after a while that the storm was so bad and during the winter time that it tore up a whole lot of stuff. He had to borrow money from the landowner and he got in debt. But then when the summer came, there was a drought and he didn't have no crop, so he didn't have that much money. Said he went and was telling the man that he didn't have the money. When he went to the office, the secretary said he's not here. When the man got home, said a truck drove up on his property. It was the man, the landowner. He told the man, I want you to know that you're going to either give me the money or you got to get off of my property. Said the old man went in his pocket, counted out all the money that he had. He said, it's all I got. The man said, well, I'm going to auction this land off on Monday. He took the money and rammed it in his pocket, got in his truck and put it in gear and said, if you don't have my money by Monday, I want you to know that you got to get off my property. The story goes that he went in and he called his wife out the back and he told his wife what had happened. Said his wife said, honey, don't even worry about it. Said, God, still in charge. And so she walked away from her husband, went in the back room and got down on her knees and began to pray. Said the Lord spoke to her heart, said, go ahead on, daughter, and get up off your knees because everything is all right. What I want you to do is go down to the auction house and get your deed and go back home. Said she got worried that night because y'all know how we do. Even if God speaks, you still get a little worried until you move. Said she got up that Sunday, husband on the porch, he's worried, trying to figure out how to borrow the money. Said the lady came out on Sunday on her way to church. Said she got to church and she told her pastor what was going on. Said the pastor had compassion, met together with the church and the officer. But you know that church folk didn't do nothing but make excuses why they couldn't help her. And after all the appeal of the pastor, it said that he gave her $10. And said she walked back in the house from church. She told her husband what had happened. Said her husband dropped his head. Next Sunday morning, said the husband again, he's sitting on the front, Brother Thomas, twiddling his thumb, because he's still trying to figure out how to keep the land. Said when he looked up, y'all know what he saw? He saw his wife come out the house. Pastor Mitchell tells the story like this. Said she had a big hat on, cocked to the side, had a purse over her arm. He said, where you going? Said she said, I'm on my way, go down to the auction. So he said, we ain't got nothing but $10. So she kept on walking. She didn't even look back. Said, that ain't my problem. That's God's fault. So she got down to the auction house. When she got down to the auction house, wasn't nobody there but her and the landowner. Said, about 5 minutes to 12, the judge came out, or the auctioneer come out. And when he stepped out, said the wind began to blow. And there was a great cloud in the sky. All right. And said, this man walked out with his gown. Said, the landowner said, hold it. He said, we can't do this because the storm is coming up. And I want you to know that nobody is here. Said, the judge looked up. Said, ain't nothing but the sky is black and the wind blowing a little bit. The auction is now open. Now watch how good God is. First thing I want y'all to know, in Lauderdale County, Mississippi, at that time, do you know that nobody couldn't vote or auction their own property? So that left out the landowner. He couldn't have got the property if he wanted to. Said the auctioneer said, that's open for bids when they got to the land. Said the woman said, I bid $10. Said the judge said, going once, going twice, sold for $10. Said a woman got her land deed, and said she said in her mind, I'm on my way to the house with my deed, and I'm going home. Y'all hear me now? And I just wanted you to note that story so you can understand that she probably started saying it like this while you tried to figure it out. The Lord has already I gave it over to the Lord. And he worked it out. Oh, yeah. And I'm trying to tell y'all in this church that God is still in charge. No matter what you're going through, I want you to understand that God is still in charge. Your body may not be what it used to be, but God is still in charge. Your family may not look like what you wanted to look like, but God is still in charge. Your heart might be heavy like that. You got to understand that God is still in charge. The church may not look like it used to be, and folks may not have faith that they used to have, but I still stop by to tell y'all this day that God is still in charge. You got to leave this church today. Go find somebody with their head hung down. Somebody that may not know about God, and tell them God is still in charge. You say, well, Reverend, I don't know how to do that. How you know God is still in charge? Y'all know how I know that God is still in charge? I've been through a whole lot of things. God has seen me through, and he woke me up this morning. Is that right? He's still seeing me through. And I want to tell you how I know that God is still in charge. God is still in charge, because one Friday they did, they whooped him and they beat him. Took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Took him and laid him in a hole. Y'all remember that hole? They laid him in a hole, in a borrowed tomb. And the Bible said they was in control, ain't that right? They laid him up Calvary's Hill, beat him and whipped him. They was in control, ain't that right? But they made one mistake. When they tied him up, when they nailed him, and they nailed him in his hand, and nailed him in his feet. We said, well, preacher, what mistake did they make? My Bible said that Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. That's the mistake they made. They lifted him up from the earth, and they put him down in the grave. Friday, they was in control. Saturday, they was in control. But early Sunday morning, the Bible says he got up with all power in his hand, because he's still in control. You ought to know about that, that God is still in control. You done cried, you done prayed, you just not gave up, but you're still here. You here because God is in control. I'm done.
Do you know what you're going through? Do you know what you're going to face? Look at what you said like this. He said, I don't know what the world is going to do, but I do know who's holding the world. God is still in charge. God has ordered your steps. God has blessed the church. We got to come together and pray. Get ready for communion.
Thank you.
You ready for communion?
Yes, sir.
Blood of Jesus still working. Those of us, mama gone, daddy gone.
Yeah.
That's all right.